Did I give you this
Rich
one?
Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson.
I do love this band. The National. The National. Not The Natural with Roy Hobbs and Bat Boy.
Okay.
Is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEI, 617-779-7937. And you can also get a hold of us over there on the Odyssey app. You can listen to the show. Also launch a take grenade by pressing the microphone. Leave us a message, and we play those in the 5 o'clock hour. A gentleman who we love having on with us, who is right now down at Foxborough, or should I say Boston Stadium, with no sponsors or logos, everything covered up until FIFA rolls into town, Mr. Tom E. Curran. Hello, Tommy Curran.
How you kids doing today?
Hey, Tom.
Oh, just having the time of our lives, Tommy. We saw a report from your buddy there, Phil Perry, that, to be quite honest, kind of scared the snot out of us, that Drake May had a collision. Is that right? And that's why they ended up having to end practice early? Is that report correct?
That report is correct. It wasn't necessarily a collision. It was one of those over-exuberant pass rushes by Braden Swinson, a second-year player off the edge, and there was a completion to A.J. Brown with, I would say, about 25 minutes left in the workout. A.J. Brown took it in for a touchdown, but Braden Swinson made a little bit of contact with Drake May, and the two of them landed in a heap. And Mike Vrabel said, all right, everybody, out of the pool, out of the pool, everybody. And they huddled up, and that was the end of it. But Drake May, just to put a fine point on it or to put a bow on it, he did throw after practice to Mac Hollins, Romeo Doubs, a few other guys, and there was no trace of any disabilities or anything like that.
Tom, what can you tell us? Just the sounds like a lot of red zone work, and just, you know, A.J. Brown's impact in the red zone in particular. What did you see from him, and how are they using him in the red zone in camp?
Well, just to give you a flavor, he had an unbelievable pirouetting catch today that was virtually impossible to make. It was, like you said, red zone, but it was he was in the left, heading towards the left back pylon, and he was looking for over his back, over his left shoulder, and Drake May had thrown it inside, and instead of continuing to open up and kind of keep his eyes on the ball, he turned his body around completely and just plucked it. So his back was turned to the ball for a split second. It was really a remarkable play. It said some of his baseball experience as an outfielder helped him with that, tracking the ball. But it was a hell of a play, and he made a lot of nice back shoulder catches. You can see already that he and May are good on those, and I think that's a real advantage for him with the size that he has. He's a tough guy to fight through, and they're going to try and get that telepathy going that you need on those kinds of plays. But he figured prominently, and I would say this, Drake May, he looks the way an elite quarterback should look in 7-on-7, 11-on-11. And by saying that, I mean every throw is right on the face mask. Very few overthrows, very, very few throws that you're like, what was that? And he really looks on top of things this season. And Mike Vrabel spent a lot of time last year kind of on his back to take more command and leadership. There is no problem with that right now.
Tom, I know we're a year away. We were just discussing, though, how the Mahomes contract might impact Drake next year at this time. Do you have any big picture thoughts on that year out?
Yeah, I mean, he should be a better player than Patrick Mahomes by the end of Patrick Mahomes' contract. And that's, you know, allowing that Patrick Mahomes is the Hall of Famer, but Drake May is 24. He'll probably sign when he's 25 or 26. He'll be entering his late 20s on that contract. So my feeling is, you know, Dak Prescott was the highest paid quarterback previously at 60. Now I believe Mahomes is 64, so you'd be coming at 68 and maybe looking for 70 initially.
Jeez. Mm-hmm. Insane. Ted was saying that, 10 years, it could be potentially a $700 million contract.
Yep. Wouldn't be surprised.
Sure. Ugh. No, and when you think about it, you know, I often think that the rap on the Crafts and underspending is a little misplaced. I think when they have had good players, they have paid them eventually. We haven't seen a lot of contract strife. I wouldn't even call a Christian Gonzalez thing contract strife. But you haven't paid market price to a quarterback since 2013.
It's true. It's true. I mean, it is. It's just, it's so weird with the Gonzalez stuff, and then you've got a Drake May. I'm not used to this amount of money being thrown at players here with the Patriots.
No, but I mean, what their strategy often was to get the guys early, whether it was Gronk or even Hernandez,
yeah.
A couple of bigger contracts, and the guys that they didn't get too early, that ended up being some contract strife. You know, that was, you know, Will Fork and Mankins. But the interesting thing is, if Ted can attest to this, before Bill got here, the Patriots were very generous with contracts, whether it was, you know, Ted got a good contract, Willie McGinnis got a massive contract, Max Lane, Todd Rucci, a lot of guys got, Bledsoe got a big contract, Bill put a trapdoor into that.
sure did.
But, you know, it'll be interesting to see whether there is a return at some point to, okay, we're gonna pay top dollar for these players because they're part of the organization, or if the 24 years of Bill saying that, no, there's got to be a better way to, you know, skin this cat than that.
All right, so Tommy Curran, there was a podium moment, or at least outside, Kayshon Booty was being interviewed, and when he was asked about, you know, what his plans were, his answer kind of, we all looked at each other when we heard his first line was, I wouldn't mind being here. And then he says, I do want to be here. He corrected himself. Whether that's an X, Z, F, whatever, I got to do what's best for me. Whether that's learning the playbook more, moving around. There's only one football and there's five of us, you know. For some reason, the I wouldn't mind being here stood out as not being the most ringing endorsement. What did you make of when he said that?
Yeah, no, I asked him that question. And I was happy he answered it with the honesty that it really demands. Look, he wants to have the football. He looks in the mirror and sees a guy who had, you know, 300-plus yards receiving as a freshman against Ole Miss when he was at LSU. He probably looks at himself and says, you know, had I not been injured and not had a little bit of a, you know, dust up there at LSU, I would have been a top 15 pick. And he wants to realize the money after this year that he would get in the second contract. And it's getting harder and harder to envision him being, you know, a 40, 50, or 60-catch guy, never mind a 75-catch guy. So I understand his mindset. It seems to me that he is saying, okay, well, if I'm going to be here, I'll do whatever they need to do. But if they move me, that's fine with me too. But I think that's probably the best approach. Look, they're not going to move me, and he does have value. I mean, his hands and body control are top tier. And I don't know where Kyle Williams will be relative to him. I would imagine that Dobbs and A.J. Brown will probably be ahead of him. But you're going to need the depth and experience that a guy like Kayshon Booty brings to you. So I would not be surprised if the Patriots are reluctant to just send them someplace for a seventh-round pick.
Yeah, interesting. It's going to be interesting how that all gets figured out. Tom, I'm curious. This time last year, we all felt that the defense was going to be far ahead of where the offense is. And I'm just curious if you feel – if you feel the same way, and what you just think overall about the Patriots' defense, where's the weakness? Where do you still have concerns when it comes to the Patriots' defense?
Yeah, I spent some time talking to the defensive coordinator, Zach Court, today.
Hello.
Statistically.
Sorry, we lost you. Repeat the last 10 seconds of what you're saying, Tommy.
Oh,
sorry.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right, we lost you.
Core about that and the fact that, you know, they started off really well statistically, but once Milton Williams and Robert Spillane went down with injuries, the numbers really tailed off, and they kind of stayed high intermittently throughout the rest of the season. And I think the Super Bowl, they really attacked their edges. Mm. So the fact that Gabe Backus isn't there, I think, has to be a pretty big blow because he's a second-round pick. You probably envision him being able to at least give you something on the edge this year. And it's clear when Mike is rattling off how many OTAs and weeks of work he has missed, then when he comes in, he's going to have a massive learning curve to overcome. Harold Landry is not a run stopper. They were inconsistent against the run. I think that Milton Williams lived up to his end of the bargain. I think Christian Barmore's consistency wasn't what you would like it to be. They don't have Kyrus Tonga. So that's a big area that I would circle as being something, if I'm a Patriots fan, I'm concerned about defensively. And then edge definitely announces itself as a place that I would be concerned about too. Just because it's right now, you're counting on, and Vrabel mentioned this today, Elijah Ponder and Braden Swinson. And they know better than we do. Ponder had some good moments. Swinson didn't really do much last year. But they must be making strides behind the scenes, because if you're going to look at that and say, okay, it's Landry, it's Draymond Jones, it's Swinson, and it's Elijah Ponder, that's not a what would you would call a daunting group on paper.
All right, so Tom, there is something we've been talking about here on the show, and Sports Illustrated actually wrote a very cool article where they reached out to 8 Hall of Fame voters, and the question that they asked them was, if you had the deciding vote as to whether Eli Manning or Russell Wilson got into the NFL Hall of Fame, who do you give that vote to?
Russell Wilson.
Ooh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah. I think he was a better player. I think Eli Manning, you can't take away the 2 Super Bowls. You can't take away his effectiveness. But if he was playing for the Cardinals and had that same career in which, you know, multiple times he led the league in interceptions and just statistically was not as impressive as a guy like Russell Wilson. There were times when I'd see Russell Wilson get the ball, I'm like, they're going to go down the field and score.
Yeah.
I remember specifically a Monday night, some team decided to go for it on 4th down, didn't get it. I'm like, they're dead.
Yeah, he used to be that guy. Like, get on my back, I got this game. But you take a look at Eli Manning, not only did he win 2 Super Bowls, he was the MVP, I believe, of both of those Super Bowls. So doesn't that count for something?
No.
No, absolutely. It 1,000,000% counts for something. That's why I will lobby for Julian Edelman to get greater consideration. Postseason is the most important, the most high stakes against the best teams. It's great when guys have tremendous games in Week 8 and catch 204 yards worth of balls and compile an 1,800-yard season. But you look at Edelman and what he did in the highest stakes positions, I know he's never going to get in. He might not ever get to be in the final 25. But what he did in the postseason and the statistics relative to the greats in the postseason is, you know, undeniable.
Speaking,
so, yes, Eli Manning's postseason numbers, absolutely, and what he did in the postseason should color it. But if you ask me either or, I would say Russell Wilson. Not to say that Eli Manning doesn't belong, but it's much more of a, I'm not positive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of Edelman, Tom, I know you're a hoops guy. Did last night's comeback get in the 28-3 vicinity for you or equal it?
Yeah, that tip in really, really did. And the way my guy De'Aaron Fox, one of my favorite players in the league, melted down, did have some Falcons vibes to it. I love De'Aaron Fox, but boy, that was tough.
So
and I don't blame him. I don't blame him for trying to finish that layup that Ananobi got to. I really don't.
Really?
Get a chance to go up three. You're not going to dribble around. You're going to go to the
line. Yeah, you are. Of course you are. I was screaming at the TV.
You're not going to dribble around for 12 seconds. Ananobi's on top of him. You take one dribble, he's going to follow you with 12 seconds left. Try and put it on the rim.
So we were saying that the Ananobi block there of De'Aaron Fox was the Hightower strip sack, and that the tip-in was the Edelman catch at the end.
Very fair. Very, very fair. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Rich.
Nice. There we go. So it's 1A, 1B. Now, it will all change if for some reason the Spurs win 3 games in a row and win the entire thing. Then you obviously can't put them on the same plane. But right now, it's 1A, 1B, 28-3 and what we saw with the Knicks last night. No question.
It would be tremendous if the Spurs were able to do that.
Yes, it would, Tom. I'm right here with you. I was actually legitimately mad when the Knicks came back. I know I had saw something I was never going to see again. You know, horrendous basketball by one team and amazing basketball by the other to have this historic comeback. But it did piss me off a little bit, to be quite honest.
No doubt. I'm with you. And it's funny because Phil Perry is of a mind. I just love this basketball team. I don't care about the fans and how annoying they can be. I just love the way they play. I'm like, no, I can't see them happy. I don't want to see them happy.
I already went off on Taylor Swift being there with her Knicks stuff on when only 2 weeks ago she was courtside cheering against the Knicks with her fiance at the Cavs game. Ugh. Fake fans.
I wonder how she got that ticket.
Yeah, I know. She must know somebody. All right, Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston. Always great talking to you. Thanks for coming out with us.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Tom.
All right, 617-779-7937. We'll be right back. 2 minutes. Oh, so painful, but man, what a comeback. 93.7 WEI, Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. You can listen to us on the Odyssey app as well. And real quick, we got to pivot. Keep it in basketball because this has gotten nuts just over the last couple of hours.
Woo!
There has been some heat The smoke is everywhere, my friend, when it comes to Giannis Antetokounmpo. By the way, we are in the Ketchelsaw Injury Attorneys. No fee, a studio, no fee unless you win. So we played a clip earlier that I think it was last night that Bill Simmons on his podcast came on and basically said that he is hearing that the Celtics have been playing possum and are indeed in on Giannis. Now, he is somebody who is very close to the team. When Bill Simmons says something and involves the Celtics, you put a little more credit to his sources than you would a lot of other guys.
And it's a total 180 from Simmons. He had distinctly said they're not in on him.
Said,
right?
They were out.
Yep.
They were out. And then comes this clip from Kevin O'Connor. Now, if you don't know Kevin O'Connor, Kevin O'Connor's from around here. Like, Kevin O'Connor was a guy that was very close to the Celtics. Who did he write for? He had his own, because I remember the way I met Kevin O'Connor was because he used to put out the best draft preview guides.
Oh, really?
That had like graphs for each of the top players, and it had all these different stats, and it was so comprehensive and such like easy to look at. It was very well done that I believe Bill Simmons caught wind of it and was just like, well, I want you to come work for the Ringer. So Kevin O'Connor is someone who also, I believe, has some pretty good ties to your Boston Celtics. Here's what Kevin O'Connor just said. Let's take a listen.
Boston. And I am here to add that I have heard Boston is shopping people around a lot right now, that Boston is making calls. Boston is open to trading anybody besides Jason Tatum. And that doesn't necessarily mean they land Giannis at the end of the day. But I do believe, based off of everything, all the conversations I've had, is that the Celtics are in on Giannis and that they are making a push on him. And that this seems to be currently a two-team race with Milwaukee to acquire Giannis Antetokounmpo. We'll see how it plays out, Tom, but this feels very, very real to me that Giannis could get traded before the draft, I think after the finals. I don't think that'll happen this week. I think it would happen after the finals.
Hang on, real quick. Did he say, I'm being serious. Did he say at the beginning that they're looking at trading several players, and Tatum was one of the names?
No.
Everyone but Tatum.
Okay. I'm sorry. For a second, I spaced out because I heard that. I was like, oh my God, that's the story. Okay, good. So along those lines, because Kevin O'Connor is somebody, as I said, who has a lot, somebody that people respect. When he says something, he's not just saying it out of his butt. And obviously, so is Bill Simmons. Kalshi, if you want to take a look at what Kalshi thinks, about 2 hours ago after Bill Simmons, first of all, before Bill Simmons said what he said, Boston was at 10% for the Giannis sweepstakes. Then it went up to 19 to 20%.
Ooh, baby. Mm-hmm.
Now it's at 24%
there,
Boston.
That's what I'm talking about.
The number continues to go up right now.
Well, you heard it here 2 months ago. I told you guys, and you just shook your head and sneered.
I did.
And
then, you were one of the first.
And then I turned Scal, because remember, Scal just joined us the other day, and he said this.
I do like what he can do. He is a former MVP.
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's right, Scal. Always smells better.
Yeah. Oh, and a good point.
And that's right. So Stiz. Jaylen Brown, after that Bill Simmons report came out, this was, once again, just a couple of hours ago, tweeted what?
Yeah, about 5 hours ago, after the Bill Simmons news, Jaylen Brown tweets out, "The neighbor's rice always smells better."
Okay, which obviously is like, grass is green, you know, on the other side.
I don't know if that's obvious, but yeah.
Well, I'm assuming, I'm speaking Jaylen here, but that does seem, this seems like there's a whole hell of a lot of smoke from people who are very respectable as far as their sources are concerned, and also people who are legitimately close to the Boston Celtics. Now,
and
could they be being manipulated by the Milwaukee Bucks, possibly, in order to try to get the value for Giannis up if they want to trade him to a place like Miami? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you throw this out there that you've got more than one suitor that truly wants you, but because it's coming from Bill Simmons, I don't think that's the case. I think he legitimately has close sources with the Boston Celtics and isn't like a puppet right now for the Milwaukee Bucks.
But also, don't you think Jaylen has to be looped in at this point? If you're making serious calls with other teams, those teams want to speak to Jaylen and know that he's committed to their franchise.
No way.
And
I don't know.
What? No way. Not at this point.
You don't owe that to Jaylen.
No, you don't.
I would think if I'm Portland, I want to speak to Jaylen and say, hey, if you come here, what's your attitude like? Do you want to carry this team? Are you going to be our superstar? Like, you get to a point and theoretically talk trades, but but you actually, as a trading team.
I don't think that's normal protocol, though.
That's how deals are done.
In this case, I mean, I wouldn't do the deal if I'm Team X and I don't talk to Jaylen Brown.
I'm with you. I've always thought that, Ken, and I mean, I didn't even interrupt you, but I would always want to talk to the player if I could, but I don't, I think that's not protocol. I don't think that normally happens.
Hmm. He's got no choice. I mean, could he go there and just start kicking and screaming, saying, "I want out"? Maybe, but I also don't think that the Celtics would make a deal with a team that he definitely would not want to go to. I think that there's some sort of sense that they want this thing to go fairly smoothly. Mm-hmm. And you know, listen, who knows? Maybe Portland's a place he'd want to play. Maybe any place is a place he'd want to play.
If he's the guy.
If he's the guy, right. He wants to be the guy, and he would be the guy in Portland.
By the way, just to get familiar, Stiz, can we play Giannis talking about how to pronounce his name?
In the Nigerian way, you got to say it with a D. So it's Adetokounmpo. But in the Greek way, you say with the NT, like Antetokounmpo. So I changed myself. Like, I don't think there is a way you gotta say the last name. Whatever you got, just say, you know, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You got to get used to
say
it.
Like that.
Now Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Now I'm more confused.
Thanasis Antetokounmpo.
All right, it looks like this could happen. Would you be willing to trade Jaylen Brown for Giannis? 617-779-7937.
This is 19.
Out of nowhere, all of a sudden. All the sources coming out of left and right, just trying to fit. Now, the only thing I'll say is that they both work for The Ringer. So maybe Kevin O'Connor's source is Bill Simmons. But still, Bill Simmons is saying it. So
take that, Knicks.
Take that, Knicks. There you go. They're stealing all the news from you. Sure. All right. 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls next.
Straight punk there. What do you got here?
Bad Religion. For my money, my favorite punk band.
There you go.
They, you know what? They made the second best Christmas album of all time, only behind a Charlie Brown Christmas. they did straight up, but the singing's great. Like, they're known for their harmonies, Bad Religion. And by the way, it's kind of ironic that a band with the name Bad Religion has one of the best albums about a religious holiday.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic. It's called Christmas Songs. Very, very good. All right. It is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. And right now, there's smoke everywhere. Within the last... 12 hours?
Late night, Bill Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
4 hours ago, Jaylen Brown. 2 hours ago, Ringer podcast, Kevin O'Connor. And don't forget the Seaport condo up for sale by Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, which, as I said, Jaylen Brown has a house that he, or a place that he actually lives in. He's had that other condo. He's been trying to sell it for years.
He moved to China. I mean, God.
Well, I mean, he's hanging out in China right now. But the reports are, according to Kevin O'Connor and Bill Simmons, that it is right now... There's some smoke. The Celtics are absolutely in on Giannis Antetokounmpo. And are you ready? Are you ready for life without Jaylen Brown and potentially having Giannis here? Let's go to Rich in Portsmouth. What's up, Rich? How's it going?
Hey, good, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Yes, absolutely. I have done with Jaylen Brown. I find him to be insufferable. You know, we're not going to win championships with Jaylen Brown. I'm just really disappointed in how the season ended and his cavalier attitude toward being his favorite season. I would love to get Giannis. I think Giannis wants to win in Boston, and I say let's do it.
You know what, Rich? I'm not against doing something drastic with this team. I just think that you're at a point now where – I've been looking at these teams in the finals and through the playoffs, and you can't go back. You can't go back with what you had. You got to do some sort of shakeup. Now,
then you want LeBron on top of it, is what you want.
Yeah, bring Giannis here, and then bring LeBron back. You got a big three, baby. You got a big three.
And Ted's out on Jaylen Brown, so he's got to be in on Giannis.
He's out.
But you're in on Giannis.
I'm in on Giannis. Yep.
Boom.
Yep. I wasn't when we first started having these discussions, though. I was
so Jaylen's Twitch did it for you.
It broke me. That Twitch was I'm enough. I can't. You know what? It says everything I need to know about the guy.
The favorite season thing does kind of piss me off a little bit, but it's
shout out to the chat.
But it's less about that for me. It's more about basketball reasons. I just don't want the same old going into the season.
I'm pissed.
Yeah, well, thank you, Brad Stevens. Apparently you are. John on line two. What's up, John? How's it going?
Rich, how can you say that it's basketball reasons when he sat there and legitimately said it was his favorite season and a guy who blew his ankle out that he's supposed to be brothers with on the field or on the court in this case? If I was Jason Tatum, I would have been up to the office and would have said, I don't give a damn what he is or what he says. I am this team. I want my guy's here, and he's not my guy just because of how he made me feel. And not for nothing, he was the highest-paid player in the league at some point, and I can think of 20 guys in the league I'd rather have than Jaylen Brown. I pray to God that Stephen A. Smith one day wakes up and says, you know what? This guy can get bent because I'm going to start digging, and I'm going to stop being a journalist like I used to be. He wants to challenge people like that.
John, I love that call, but we lost you. I think he misunderstood me. I was saying if you brought in Giannis instead of Jaylen, traded it for basketball reasons, I'd like for that to happen.
I just think that you have to
shake up what you've got because it's not working.
Can I reiterate what Brad Stevens, not the pissed part, this is what he said at his season ending press conference.
One of the things that we've got to figure out is how to have more more of an impact at the rim, and I think we need.
There you go. That's it. Impact
more dunks,
at the rim.
Less yeah. 3-point shots.
200 dunks a year with Giannis.
Yeah,
that's his standard.
All right, Tim, what's going on, man? Thanks for calling.
What's going on? We don't need Giannis. He travels to the basket. He's not an inside player. He's a goofball. He's going downhill. Jaylen Brown, and this is what everybody forgets. Everybody forgets to measure the heart. Jaylen Brown has a heart of steel. He's the heart of the Celtics. That's what everybody's not measuring. Like, we don't want Giannis. He's old.
So like, Tim, just real quick, does the heart of the Celtics say this was his favorite season after getting crushed in the first round?
This was my favorite season.
And saying that when, like,
of my
career. His ride or die was not, he was injured the entire season? Do you think that's someone who should be called the heart of the Celtics?
Why don't you reference Antoine Walker and what he said about that? You know, I think he said something good.
Threw a bag of cheeseburgers.
It's funny how they wait to do all this announcing when he's out the country. I think that's kind of weaselly.
They did it on purpose, Tim. It's right.
Jaylen Brown's best friend. Awesome,
Tim. That's a good call, man.
He's supposed to be doing journalism.
Yeah. I mean, it is wild. So he's sitting there, you know, in China right now, and meanwhile, everyone's like...
It's hard to say Jaylen Brown, the heart and soul of this team, when he just said it was the most exciting season he's had. I'm sorry.
What does that say to you? It's a problem. You can't have that be the heart and soul of your team.
He's the heart and soul of the regular season.
Where you basically sounded like, you know what, despite the guy who's supposed to be my 1A, 1B, my ride or die being injured for the entire season, it was still my favorite season. Like, that, you don't do that if you're the heart of the team.
By no means was this season a failure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was, buddy.
By the way, someone says Tatum missed game 7 with a boo-boo. I'm not going to crush him for that, man. I'm not going to crush him for that.
Yeah, Ted was not happy with that.
I can go either way. I think it's okay to question his absence. It's all right.
I love this guy who would rather sit on a chainsaw than see Giannis in a Celtics jersey. There are some that are vehemently against it.
Giannis isn't the ideal person to have replacing Jaylen Brown. He's not ideal.
He's older. He shortens your window, but that's not a bad thing. That means you're all in the next 2 years.
He's also got some issues as far as being a leader, being somebody. I mean, remember who was it who was on his team who was calling him out, saying that when Doc Rivers was there, Giannis was always the last one to get to the plane.
Miles Turner. Thank you.
Yeah, Miles Turner was saying that, and it just sounds to me, Giannis at one point, like when he won the championship, he was everything you wanted a player. Like, he was like, I love this small market. I'll do anything for it. I'll stay here. And something changed. Mm-hmm. But as I said, I would be open to seeing what this would look like without Jaylen Brown. I'm not attached to Jaylen Brown, and I understand how great of a player he is.
And I'm not attached to Giannis.
I
feel the same way you do.
I almost wish there was like another big out there that they could do this for, but
Giannis!
Yes, it does. Giannis, of course. I just don't.
Antetokounmpo Umpo.
I know that Paul Pierce loves Sabonis. I don't know how they can get him. Like that. That seems interesting to me. But I mean, he's in love with him.
Well, if you could get Sabonis, I don't want to trade Jaylen Brown, and I'd keep Sabonis, Jaylen Brown, JT. That would be
Sabonis makes as much as. Like Jaylen almost. He makes salary is huge.
He makes a ton, and I don't know why Paul was saying that because I don't know how I can't figure out how you can make it happen.
Yeah.
Like as far as the numbers and stuff, please, somebody, if there's somebody who knows the cap and knows how all this is going to be moved around where you can get Sabonis on this team, please tell me because that Paul Pierce seems to love it. All right, let's go to Pat in Plymouth. What's up, Pat? How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I don't think we can underestimate
you know, game seven, Tatum not showing up. I mean, if he played 5 minutes, we could have won the game. We could be the team that's there now.
Yeah, but his doctors apparently told him not to play.
It is weird that he said he could have played the next round.
That does suck.
He should never have said that.
Yeah, that does suck. I mean, I wish he wouldn't have said that because it does seem, as Ted said, that it's kind of soft sounding.
It makes you think there's no chance of re-injuring it. It was just hurting a little bit, and you could have played through it, and it just you just needed one more day. Like, you know, that's not a great sound.
Someone said, Tatum is as soft as they come. Without Brown, this team has zero guts.
So now when you hear them saying they're open to dealing anybody except Tatum. Who else goes? Is it more than one move?
I mean, Derek White,
do you move him?
Pritchard has value.
I think they keep Pritchard for sure because he's affordable, and they need cheap guys, cheap, effective guys, if you're going to have two bigs like this. It's fascinating, though. This is great.
I
just like that they're trying to do something different.
Yep.
Good.
They're trying to figure it out.
I'm watching these finals.
The easiest thing would be to get rid of the coach, but they don't want to get rid of the coach. So,
but Terp kept coming in here and saying they're going to run it back. They're running it back. That just feels like they don't care. They're not trying. At least now, I love that they're making calls. They're at least pushing the Heat to up their good. They should have some life.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can't say what you said if you're Brad Stevens and run it back. Like, he called out this roster.
Right.
They needed a rim protector.
Well, you could add a big.
You could add a big, and just be done. So just you still keep your two J's. You just add a big.
Yeah, but are we talking Robert Williams? Or are we talking about a real move?
I don't know, Rich. We're going to find out.
That's the million dollar.
We'll find out together.
Yep. All right. Well, 617-779-7937. There is a lot of smoke on this. Let me check the Kalshi update real quick because it keeps going up. We're at 25%. 25%.
Get in now, then you can sell that when it gets up to 40.
That's right. So get in now while
you can. Use my code Ken, K-E-N.
All right. That's right. So why the hell not? All right. 617-779-7937. We'll take your calls next. All right. It's 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. And by the way, I'm very excited because in about 10 minutes, we are going to have Kat Harvey from Scotland. She is broadcasting here for the World Cup. And the Tartan Army is here. It's a bunch of insane Scots who are just taking over the streets. They love to drink. They love to party. And they are everywhere.
Chaos, would you say?
It's all chaos. Yes, it is. But in the meantime, speaking of chaos, there is two very noteworthy reports that have come out that the Celtics are indeed in on Giannis. This coming from Bill Simmons and from Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer. Let's go to George in Sandwich. George, what's happening, my man? How you doing?
Hey, so Brad Stevens wants to stay with Joe Mazzulla. We all know Joe Mazzulla's game plan. He doesn't adjust. He doesn't do all. He's all about the three. So why not get, I think what the Celtics need to do is get players that can shoot the three because
it's like feeding an addict. Like,
George, I appreciate your call, but
don't do that.
The game has turned away from that. Have we not learned anything these finals?
By the way, Mazzulla said if you get him a big man who can post it, he will post it.
Sure.
That's what he said at the end of the year. So he's willing to change. Don't give him another guy that shoots a three. That's the worst thing you could do.
Joe Mazzulla is going to have to change his methods. He's going to have to change his philosophy because we know what his philosophy is because he told us. He said the most important stat in basketball is three-point attempts. That's insane. The game has changed. When it was Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors who completely changed the game, for a while that was it. And you got to be honest, it made basketball a little boring, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But thank God, over the past couple of seasons, we've shifted back in the other direction.
Well, and it burnt the Spurs last night, to your point earlier. Too many threes in the second half.
Oh, yeah.
They were on fire in the first half.
Did it feel familiar?
Yeah, it did.
Watching that game?
It really did.
Yeah.
It felt like a Celtics breakdown because we've seen that happen so many times. When you're hot, you're hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're cold.
Somebody go to the rim, except De'Aaron Fox. Don't go to the rim.
If only the Spurs had a big man that could do that.
Seriously.
Let's go to Paulie in line one. Paulie,
our man.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, boys. How are you doing
what's
today?
What's up, Paulie? I'm doing good.
All right. There's a big man out in Sacramento. I don't know what his name is, but he's been spoken of. And I understand by the description that he's like a Russell type. He's not as big as everybody.
Sabonis. Paul, it's what we've been talking about. Sabonis.
One of the top rebounders in the league of all time, really. He's something. Guy can really bang the boards. He can get it done down there deep. And he might be a tough piece that you can add without having to add to the Jays. I don't want to trade either one of them. I want a big man. I want to add. I don't want to trade. All that's right, what they need to.
Yeah, Paulie, I've listened. That's who we're talking about with Sabonis.
Sports Talk Radio Caller of the Year.
Nice job. He's proving it again.
Yes, it was. Somebody said, if you think Giannis coming here is a good idea, then I bet you're also excited for Shaq and for Chad Ochocinco. I'll say this much. That month or whatever it was where Shaq was healthy when he was with the Celtics, that was one of the most dominant basketball teams I've ever seen. It was unfair how good that team was when he was in there.
We're always going to play to the style of the strengths of the roster that we have, and whatever that looks like. If we go out and get five big men that can post, we'll post it every single time. We'll do whatever we got to do to win.
Thank you, Joe.
Hopefully you will do anything you do to win. I don't know how you can watch what you've been watching over the last couple of weeks and think you can just go back to what you had.
This was my favorite season of my career.
And Peyton Pritchard, and see, that's the thing too, is he made Pritchard all these defender. Players have to answer for him for the most ludicrous statement where Peyton Pritchard was asked about that at like some, you know, kids camp or something.
He had his boys back too. He doesn't sound good when he's doing that, because we all know.
Yeah.
Now maybe they keep the Jays and get Giannis too. Is there a chance of if they're trading everybody else?
Nope.
Just the new big three?
No. You got to get rid of one of them to get Giannis here.
But D-White's got a big contract, and then everybody else goes. Pritchard's, you know, I don't know, just spitballing.
No one is salivating for Derek White right now. And I like Derek White. I really do. He was my favorite player on that championship team.
He's a veteran piece that a team like the Spurs needs right now. They need somebody like him or Drew Holiday that would be the final piece of the puzzle.
Great point. Seeing that he was a Spur, he knows, I mean, he's obviously big friends with, not big friends, but he's very close to Greg Popovich. That would be great. But outside of something like that, I don't see anybody like saying, please give me Derek White. So I don't know if like
not
a guy
with that
like,
contract.
No, not with that contract right now. So they're in a tough spot. They are, and it's going to have to be something drastic. You know, like Giannis coming here. I don't know how I don't know what I think about all this. I just know that I don't want the same thing, and I keep repeating myself, but it's true. It's true because it's all confusing to me. I mean, I don't like Giannis that much, but I'm not a big fan of.
Do something, damn it.
Of these two together.
Red Sox, do something.
Yes,
Celtics,
right.
Do something.
Yeah, there's no question. All right, 617-779-7937. Let's play this clip real quick, because earlier in the show, we mentioned this, and we're going to have the woman from Scotland on here in a minute. I do want to get back real quick to Sam Kennedy this morning on, I know I'm completely pivoting, but we have not had a chance to follow up on this. Sam Kennedy this morning came on the show on Greg Hill. And, you know, he's been very cocky, right? Like, every time he's on the show, he seems to be, a little bit of, oh, yeah? Like, very defensive. Like, you know what? You don't know what you're talking about, guys. Like, when Greg Hill was asking him about the difference in what he had heard about Roman Anthony's injury, about right. it being a tear, and Sam Kennedy saying that it was a sprain, he was very cocky and very condescending to Greg Hill. And now that this team is 13 games back, is that right?
Yep.
13 and a half
games back.
5.5 out of the wild card.
I mean,
still a 12% chance to make the playoffs.
This team knows that they're awful, and Sam Kennedy.
Only one team has ever made the playoffs.
One bat away, Ted.
No, but that's before they expanded the postseason. Okay. I mean, that's a whole new deal.
You're right. You're right.
Deal
you're
now.
Right. Fair. Okay. Fair point.
Yeah. I listened this morning expecting Sam Kennedy to come on there and once again be cocky and to be condescending. But then I heard him open up his conversation. First of all, the question was about injuries, and Sam Kennedy said, no, before I say anything about injuries, I want to say this first.
Yeah, look, I think it's important here at the outset, Greg, just to acknowledge before we get into all that, just how embarrassing and unacceptable, maddening, frustrating, whatever words you want to use, the past 2.5 months have been. There's no way to sugarcoat it. It's been awful, especially when you consider the stated goal of building upon what happened last season. So I just, you know, before getting involved in terms of the day-to-day of the club, taking a step back, zooming out, it's been incredibly frustrating. And I just want to acknowledge that right at the outset. And it's on all of us. We have to get better. And I just wanted to say that.
Wow.
It is the tone and just wanted to say that. He's so God, so downtrodden.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Finally, he comes on here with some sort of humility. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You said it best, Ken, this morning. This morning he came on, and he didn't make anything worse for the first time.
Yep, true.
He didn't make anything better.
That's a win for him.
But he did not shoot himself in the foot. He didn't give a quote that made people go, this guy's a jackass and doesn't get it. He basically was the dude whipping himself from the Da Vinci Code, singing Opus Dei.
Did that soften up the interviewers after that? He said that?
No, they came at him pretty hard.
Good questions, but I do think it changed the tone of the interview.
Yeah.
I mean, if he had come out in mid-adversarial, that would have gone off the rails.
Right.
Yeah, but in that interview, first of all, he also admitted that he was wrong and shouldn't have done what he did with the Roman Anthony injury and said that he's, you know, never again going to comment on somebody's injury in the public that way, because and he also said that I've talked to Roman about this, so it does seem like it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't something that everyone was making a big deal out of and nothing was really going on. They had a conversation. Mm-hmm. And you could hear it in Roman's voice when he was talking to Rob Bradford.
Yeah, Bradford.
I mean, he made sure. He was like, I want to put the truth out there. I want to make it explicitly known what's going on with my injury. And then on top of that, he said that Breslow is not going anywhere, which may be true. I just think that
it's hard to believe that. Now, yes, I believe him. But in 2 months, they're not considering. It's not on the table.
I almost felt like he was saying it just so people will stop going at Breslow. Just as a way to stop going at Breslow.
Maybe,
is to just tell everybody and double down on it that he's not going anywhere. So stop bringing it up. He's our guy.
Legit, what's the reason other than positive PR that you would want to get rid of Craig Breslow right now?
To prepare yourself for trades before the August 3rd date, you're going to get rid of 3 or 4 or 5 guys on this team for prospects. And if you have to trust the guy who's making those deals.
But they just said that, first of all, they're not going to be buying anybody. They're not going to be going.
Correct.
So I guess maybe if you want to get your best value in, when you're selling off guys, sure, but
Look at the Washington Nationals right now. They traded Soto like 5 years ago, whatever it is, and they got prospects who are now propelling them to a pennant race.
I've never heard of an organization bringing in a general manager a month or two out before the trade deadline. Some new guy.
Well, they
to make a big deal.
I think they fired the last two in season, like September. Well, it was after, you know, later in the season, but they fired
after
Bloom.
The trade deadline.
Yeah, but still in season.
Yep. They also said they're pivoting from potentially adding a bat. Yeah, that's right. They were going to pivot. And then they was asked about the Buster Olney report when Buster Olney came on our show and said that it had gotten to the point where ownership was actually calling around trying to get some sort of bat. And he said some answer. Well, the reason he may have thought this was because we were all at something together. And he's blah, blah, blah. It didn't make a lot of sense. But I will say it sounds like the organization is not fooling themselves anymore. They know this is rock bottom. Absolute rock bottom, and maybe they'll be able to, let's
turn it around. This might propel them to a series win over the weekend.
Gonna come out
hot at Fenway.
I think they're
very good at Fenway. I don't know if you've seen the numbers.
Maybe they are. Okay, I am very excited about this because I said the other day when I was on here, I didn't feel like World Cup mania had hit Boston yet. Until yesterday, I happened to be by the Prudential, and I was walking down the street, and I heard Scottish accents everywhere. They are here. The Tartan Army has shown up in force, and we have Kat Harvey from Scotland STV Radio. She is covering this Scottish team who is on a road to destiny here with the World Cup. And we will have her on 2 minutes. We'll be back in just a moment.
The pubs are brilliant, but I don't think MD knows that there's a World Cup on.